All right, this morning, if you would, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 18. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. Have a very familiar passage of Scripture out of the Old Testament that many of us have heard a lot of messages on. I have preached a number of messages from this passage, and so probably won't have anything new for us. By the way, there's nothing new under the sun. I dare say that everything that we could ever come up with to preach, somebody else has preached it somewhere, some way, somehow, because it's just an unsearchable riches of things in His Word. But we can apply it in many different ways that would help us in our personal walk with the Lord. This morning in our Sunday school, we dealt with the temptation of Jesus Christ and how that He faced that temptation and how, of course, He did not fail, and how those things are for an encouragement to us that when temptation comes to us, we also can face that. We do not have to fail. Every time there's a problem that arises in our life, we can face it with prayer. We can face it with the Word of God. We can face it with the Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us. And we can face it knowing that God is our Father, and He will help us in all those things. And so we went through those different things this morning. And when you come to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, we find that Israel has gone so far away from the Lord. And God gives us these words concerning how that He deals with sin in our, He dealt with sin in Israel's life as a nation. The Bible gives us a lot of illustrative stories. Those things are to give us some things that we can think of in our realm of life, our human thinking can identify with. And I don't know if anybody's ever seen a potter at work or not, spinning that clay on a wheel, but it's a very common thing in the life and the time of Jeremiah and the nation of Israel. I have watched a potter do that. It's amazing, just the movement of their fingers, how that all of a sudden it becomes a very beautiful vase at the end of the process of going through the baking and the fire that's put to it and the colors that are put there. I've watched them as they do that manually on that wheel. They had their feet moving like an old-fashioned sewing machine, keep that wheel moving. Then, of course, we go up to the electric time, and it moves constantly. But here, the Lord uses this illustrative story of what He did and what He wanted to do to Israel to help them. Now, when God brings us to a portion of our life that He deals with us about something, it is to help us. God never does anything to harm us. He never does anything to hurt us. It's always to help. Now, our response to that pressure that God puts upon us determines whether or not it's good or harmful to us. It is we that make it harmful. It is not the Lord. But I want us to read here in chapter number 18, and beginning in verse number 1, and we'll deal this morning with the subject that Jesus is needed at the potter's house. And you and I, sometime in our life, we will be at the potter's house. Sometime in our life, we will be that piece of clay that He begins to put pressure upon and begins to mold us and to make us. And our response will determine where we are in our spiritual life with the Lord. So let's read these verses. And remember, He's dealing with the entire nation, the nation of Israel. Verse number 1, Jeremiah 18. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And a vessel that he made of clay was mired in the hands of the potter, so he made it again. Another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, you see, the Lord said, you go to the potter's house and I'll give you my words. He goes there, he views what's taking place in those first four verses. Now verse 5, the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of this evil that I thought to do unto them. And what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then will I repent of the good which I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Notice verse 12. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. In these verses this morning, we find that, maybe as a little bit of background, Jeremiah was a prophet of God to Judah. He was a man that God had established as his prophet. And the Bible even tells us that he was the man God had for the people of God even before he was born, while he's yet in the mother's womb. God had ordained him and had chosen him that he was going to do a particular work for God. I don't understand all that, but I do know God has a will for all of our lives, and he knows and plans a charted a course for each of us. And Jeremiah was this man that God had said, you're going to be my prophet. You're going to be my man. You're going to be my spokesman. You're going to be my preacher. And when you read the life of Jeremiah, you'll find that he became a very sad individual because he saw the condition of his country. He saw the condition of a people that was once great and was once a powerful people and a once godly people. Sort of reminds us of the nation that we live in. And Jeremiah looked upon that country and saw them in a very spiritually in a bad sense, in a bad way. And God gave him messages to deliver to those people. And Jeremiah delivered this message, and it was not a good message. It was not a message that they wanted to hear. And so Jeremiah delivers the message that God gives him. He takes Jeremiah down to the potter's house and shows him this man that is talented and skilled in making pottery. And he watches him a little while, and he sees he molds and he makes that vessel and the spinning of the wheel, and all of a sudden the potter takes that clay and mashes up that which looked good to maybe Jeremiah, because there was something in there that was wrong. There was a hard spot in that clay that would not mold and would not conform to the hands of the potter. And so the Lord says, you watch that, and as you watch that, I'll give you my word to give to the people. And verse 5, he tells us here that Jeremiah, that the word came to him saying, now the house of Israel, and he said, you go tell them I can do with them anything I choose to do. That's our God. He says, you go to the house of Israel, if they'll get the hard spots out, I'll make it good for them. If they'll not do that, he says, then I'll make it hard for them. The Bible uses the word evil. God doesn't put evil upon us. It just means it was less than what they wanted in their life, and it was evil to them of what was going to take place. And so this morning, I want us to notice a little bit about the potter and his clay. And this message that was given to Jeremiah, certainly it could be a message for our country. It could be a message for our personal lives, because we find here in Jeremiah's nation, the whole nation was a mess. It was in a terrible, terrible condition of rejecting and turning away from God. All of us, we need to spend some time watching a little bit about the potter wheel as he spins that clay and realize that what that represents. You and I, this morning, today we find out, as I said earlier, we will be that piece of clay. We are that piece of clay continually in the hand of the potter. Of course, we know that God was talking about Israel being the clay, and the potter was, of course, God. You and I this morning, on an individual basis, we are just a hunk of clay. The Bible tells us that we're made out of the dust of the earth, and that dust is pliable and moldable, and it can be used for the good things of life. We have no problem identifying who the potter is here, for he has the power over that clay. He has the power to do with it as he so chooses to do. He can send good, or he can send less good. He can send good and good things, great things, or he can bring about judgment upon them because of their actions against him. And so this morning, you and I on the wheel, I'll tell you, we need the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart and our lives to help us with these things that come to us. As we noticed this morning in the Sunday school time, the things happen and problems arise and circumstances come. And when we're at our weakest, when we're at the low point of our life, you can rest assured the devil, he's going to come and he's going to try to destroy you. He's going to try to bring a hardship in your life that would turn you against the Lord Jesus Christ and lose your hope and lose your testimony for Christ. And we're on that wheel, and it turns continually over and around and around and around. And God is molding us and making us, and he wants us to be a fit vessel to be used of God. Paul said, if I'm not going to be used of God, I don't want to be set up on a shelf. I don't want to be an empty vessel. Paul says, I want to be a usable vessel. And you and I this morning as believers, we should be desiring to be usable in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have no problem identifying the potter, and we have really no difficulty identifying the clay. Make no doubt about it. We are the clay. He is the potter. He is the one that has the power over us. Do you realize this morning we ought to be thankful that we're even able to get out of bed? Able to put our feet upon a floor and get it and go get a drink of water. We ought to be thankful that we have enough mind this morning to be able to put clothes upon us and to be able to find our way to where we need to go and what we need to do. That's because God gives us the ability to do that. And just as we have the ability, he can remove that ability very quickly. He can bring judgment upon a people, upon a nation. And I believe our country is experiencing right now in present tense, the judgment of God upon us, because long years ago, a few years ago, we turned our back and said, we don't want God, we don't need God. Now we say we don't even want him in our knowledge. Romans chapter 1. And so, our nation is on the potter's wheel. And our nation needs the Lord to show up and to help us. It's not the Bernies and the Hillaries and the Cruises and the Trumps and whoever else, all the other 15 is trying to get that highest office. It's not in their hands, but it's in our Lord's hands. Do I think God uses human instrumentality? Sure he does. Do I believe God would desire for us to have a nation and turn back to him? Sure God wants that and desires that. But it's not in a man at the White House. It's in the man at the Lord's house. And so we find here, the Lord says to Jeremiah, you go down to the potter's house. Jeremiah said, I went there. And he said, what I did, I saw a man working. He says he wrought a work on the wheel, the potter's wheel. It's just a flat piece of probably metal, and it's laid flat and it spins. Put that clay on it. I watched a video last night just to, again, refresh my memory on some things. Puts that old hunk of clay on there. It just looks like a pile of dirt. It's wet. That's all it is. You know what we are this morning? We're just a pile of dirt. Yeah. We don't have a whole lot of worth when it comes to what this world offers and what we are worth as far as the minerals in our body. We're not worth much. It was figured up a few years ago that we might be worth about $1.76. And so we're not worth a whole lot. But we're worth the life of the Son of God to die upon Calvary to God. And so therefore he desires for us to be what he wants us to be. The word mired here means that it didn't stand the test. It's mired. It's got a defect. I got a defect this morning. You have defects this morning. We had a great defect before the Lord came and cleansed us and made us a new creature in Christ. We're still defective because we're still sinners, but thank God we're saved. We have one that has taken care of that. So the word mired means that it's not working as should, the word mired also means it won't hold its shape. Something's wrong with it. It doesn't stay like it's supposed to. It gets out of shape. Well, sometimes we get out of shape, don't we? Sometimes we get mired. I want us to look, first of all, some things that will mire you and I, some things that will defect us, some things that will bring out the defects in us. We're defective people, and there are some things that will defect us and show it out more and more. Verse 4 tells us here that this vessel was mired. But you'll notice where the vessel is. It's in the hand of the potter. It's in the hand of that which has all ability to do anything he wants to that clay. Years ago, my grandfather lived in Richmond, Kentucky. And there's a place there not too far out of Richmond that a little town called Bybee. It's a real small place. It's smaller than small. About the only thing in that little area was a few houses and then an old rough-looking place that had a title up on top of the door that said Bybee Pottery. It's pretty important, and people pay a whole lot for it. It's not there now. It's gone. But I can remember as a kid, I'd go down there, and they'd let me watch. Now, we didn't go there but once a year. And I'd go down, and they'd let me watch as they made those vessels. And the potter, the fellow that was skilled in doing the pottery, he had all power over that clay. He could make it a vessel, and I've seen him make one. I said, "Boy, that looks good." And all of a sudden, he'd take his hand and mash it down, and it's gone. And I asked him one time, I said, "What'd you do that for?" I mean, I was 12 years old. "What'd you do that for?" And he explained to me, he said, "There's a piece in that piece of clay that's hard." And he would dig around in that, and he'd find that hard piece of substance, and he'd throw it away. And then he'd start making it again. That's exactly what Jeremiah saw here in chapter number 18. He saw the potter, and he wrought a work on the wheel. And he found out it was mired. What mires us? What makes those hard places show up in our life? Where's the defects that show up so many times? What makes them come to light? What makes them come to the forefront? Sometimes it's the company that we keep. Sometimes it's those evil influences in this world that will show us and will be like the devil and sort of bring us over, get us away from the presence of the Lord. And all of a sudden some defects show up in our life because of the company that we keep and the friends that we have. That's why we need to be careful who we have company with. That's why our young folks need to be careful about who they run with. That's why you need to be careful who you date. Because somewhere down the line, one of those girls or one of those boys that you date, they're going to end up being your wife or your husband. That's just natural. And so therefore we need to be careful because if we keep the wrong company, it's going to bring some defects out in us, and the Lord may have to take it and just pick it out, and sometimes that picking becomes very difficult. Sometimes we're mired by the company we keep. Sometimes we are mired by the chains that bind us, and most of those are self-inflicted chains. Oh, I can't do that. I don't have the ability to do that. I'll tell you what, if the Lord tells you to do something, He'll give you the ability if you don't have the ability. He'll permit you some way, somehow, to get that ability where you can do what He wants you to do. I've told you time and time again, when I was a kid, I wouldn't even look anybody in the face. I didn't even want to shake hands with anybody. I was bashful. I didn't want to have anything to do with anybody. And about 15, 16 years old, I realized I needed to do something I didn't want to do. I graduated from high school when I was 17. I went to a trade school. That wasn't what I needed to do. And I said, how in the world can I stand up before people? And now people say, how in the world, why don't he shut up and sit down? But the Lord can give you ability, whatever it is. I think of all these folks that are in different countries, and how in the world could they learn those languages? I can hardly speak English. Well, if the Lord called me to wherever, and if He did the calling, He'd give me ability to do what I needed to do what He wanted me to do. But sometimes we are mired by the chains that bind us and that we will not permit Him to have His way. Sometimes we are mired, and we think of young people many times in this statement, sometimes we are mired by the decisions that we make. It's not only young people that make bad decisions. We all make bad decisions. But it's a fault. It's something that keeps the Lord from molding us and making us to be what we ought to be. Sometimes it's the false Christianity around us that we say, how in the world is that working? Why does that work? And we look at it from a human standpoint. Well, we need to realize that the Lord will give us exactly what's needed. Sometimes we are mired by the confessions that we do not make. You see, we get saved when we confess our sins. We know we're a sinner. We believe that He died for us, and we have confession of our faith. But I'll tell you what, we need to confess continually. Lord, I'm a sinner. I've done this. I've had this problem. Lord, would you help me with this weakness? You know what? When we say that, we're really saying, Lord, will you help me with that mire that's mired in my clay? Sometimes my thoughts are not right. Sometimes my actions are not right. Sometimes my words are not right. Sometimes my attitudes are not right. Those are just hard spots in the clay. Those are just difficulties in all of our lives, and we all have different ones. And so that mires us. All of these mires, all of these problems do one thing. They keep us from really serving the Lord like we need to and like He wants to. All these things that would keep us away from God keep us from the loving touch of the potter. Instead of Him loving us and building us and making us, sometimes He has to pull that out and throw it away and redo and remake. You'll notice there in the scripture it says, and He made it again. Thank God. He makes it again and again and again. We're not going to be perfect until we enter perfection. And our potter, our Lord, He'll make it again. Thank God He doesn't throw us away. He doesn't destroy us. He doesn't kill us. He doesn't make us nothing. He just makes it again. And so Jeremiah, he hears the word of the Lord, and the Lord says, go down, just watch the potter a little while, and I'll give you what you need to tell the people. And so he did that. He watched, and he saw, and God made him realize. There are some things within the clay that did not belong there. There were some things in this potter's hand that he felt was wrong, and he made it again. In that making again, he gets rid of parts of it, throws it away because he's already tried it, so he takes it away. We find that clay sometimes is unusable. As I looked in some of the things of reading and studying, I find that there are some types of clay that just will not be usable. Sometimes the clay is too soft. If it's too soft, it will not hold its form. I put out beside that the word no conviction. Just do what everybody else does. Just too soft. It's hard in our day and time. It's difficult to stand and say, "Thus saith the Lord." It's hard sometimes for us to say what you're doing and what the whole world is doing, what our nation is wrong, it's sinful. But if we're children of God, then we ought to be willing to say, the Bible says, and then back it up with the Word of God and be able to say, this is what the Lord says and this is where I stand. If we don't have any conviction, we'll just go with the flow and we'll be like everybody else. That's a clay that's too soft. Will not stand. The second one is a clay that is too stiff. It's not pliable. It doesn't have enough emotions. It doesn't have enough moisture. And then there's one that's just too mired. Sometimes God can't use us. Paul said, God forbid that I be put on a shelf and not be used of God. Those that will not stand can't be used of the Lord. Those that are too stiff, they're not pliable, they can never be made into a good vessel. Those that have too many problems that will not be taken out and will not let the Lord help us with, God will not use us. Doesn't mean we're not saved, doesn't mean we're not going to heaven. It just means God's not going to use us to the extent He desires to use us. You see, God has a plan for every one of us. And He's got it way up here, and I can't get there, but He can help me do what I need to do to get there. I can't do it of my own. I can't do it of my own power, my own self, but I can do it as He spins the wheel. I can do it as He puts the pressure on the clay. Sometimes being made into a vessel that's usable and fit for God, sometimes it's not very pleasurable. Jeremiah didn't have a whole lot of pleasure in his life. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because he looked upon his nation, he saw that the sin they were in, and he cried over his people. He writes the book of Lamentations. We know what it means to lament. We're sorrowful. And Jeremiah writes the book entitled The Lamentations of Jeremiah the Prophet. And he lays out some of the weepings that he had and some of the problems that he had. And it was because he was on the wheel and God was molding him and making him into His prophet. Too soft, too stiff, too mired. Staying committed to the plan of the Lord, we need the Lord. Jesus has got to be with us at the wheel because we can't do it ourselves. He has to be available in our life, has to be there to be used of God. He helps us to be focused upon Him and not us. We live in a self-centered world. I've never seen so many people that are so self-centered. All they care about is them. They don't care about anybody else. They don't care about what takes place. They don't care about who it hurts, who it helps, who it destroys, who cries, who laughs, just so I have my way. Sorry to say that I know some preachers like that. I know some churches like that. I'm going to have it my way or there's no way at all. Well, there's probably no way at all that you ever be used of God. And so the pressure of the potter as he spins us on his wheel, and he does that to get us on his wheel. He gets us to his wheel. It keeps us focused on Him, and it prepares us for the purpose that God has for us. When I came to Madisonville in 1979, I had no idea I'd be here in 2016. I remember first services, and then We got to talking about a school, and it scared me to death. Almost did not stay. I wasn't able. I didn't have the ability. No way. I don't like school. I didn't like school until I got in college. Now I loved it. I don't want to be up. I told Brother Downs, I said, I'll tell you later on whether I'm going to do it or not. I don't know. I had no idea 30 some odd years later I'd still be here in the school doing as good as it's doing. Thank God. God has a will. God has a purpose. God has a plan. Man, he puts you on the wheel sometimes to find it. And if I'm keeping wrong company, if I'm chained down, my choices are wrong, I don't confess, and I don't take the right counsel, then I have a problem. It makes us useful for his glory. It separates us to his honor, and we're separated for his holiness. What makes us fit vessels? What makes us, when the Lord comes and he's needed there at the potter's house, what makes us a vessel that can be used of God? What makes us a fit vessel? He says in verse 4, the vessel he made of clay was mired in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Our time while we're on the wheel, we're molded, we're made to make a vessel that's finished. It has to be fired, had to put it into the oven, has to put the heat to it, has to bake, and has to be readied. What makes us a fit vessel? Sometimes we just have to be refurbished. Sometimes he has to mash it down and redo it again. Sometimes we have to return. He puts us back in our place. Sometimes that vessel, that piece of clay may be too wet, and the potter just puts it over there on his shelf for a while so it'll dry out. Sometimes God does those things to us till we get to the right point where he can use us. And but thank God, he always reinstates us. He helps us. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, verse number 5. Jeremiah says, then the Lord spoke to me. Doesn't tell us how long he watched. Doesn't tell us what all he saw. But he was there at the directive of the Lord. Jeremiah, go down. Jeremiah went down to the potter's house and he watched. And as he watched, then the word of God came to Jeremiah and said, O house of Israel. The Lord in his earthly ministry one time was on a hillside. He looks down upon the city of Jerusalem. Here's a city that is his city. And he looks down upon it, and maybe he saw the twinkles of the candles, and the lighting that they had of that day was far different than what we have. But in the little villages and the houses of that village of Jerusalem, the Lord sees the lights of those houses, and he knows in those houses are people. And he makes this statement, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered you as a hen doth gather her chicks, and ye would not. This is what Jeremiah is saying, O house of Judah. The Lord said, I would gather you like a... Anybody ever seen chickens have their little chicks behind them, and it begins to rain, begins to storm? You know what they do? They flutter their wings and they gather their chickens under them. I love that about our scripture. It uses things that I can see. And Jesus said, Jerusalem, all you people down there that's represented by all those lights that I see, I would take you under my wing if you'd let me, but you will not. And so Jeremiah, he sees this, and he says, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? I can take you and I can make you nothing. He goes on, he says, verse 7, in what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, and pluck it up. God says, the Lord says, I can pluck you up. You won't even be existing anymore at my will. Then he goes on and says, verse 9, what intent I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build it and to plant it. God says, I can tear it down or I can plant it up. You know why? Because he's the potter. He's the one who has total control over this little lump of clay that Jeremiah's watched. What makes us fit? What's the purpose of the potter? What does he want to do for us? He wants us to understand my position. If we would keep in our hearts my place, my position, he can use us. But when we get to thinking too highly of ourselves, he will not use us. The New Testament talks about that. Paul talks about people that think too highly of themselves. If we think very high at all, we're thinking too highly because we're just a, what? Lump of clay. And so, as I'm put on the wheel, the purpose of the potter is to show me my position. And in my position, if it's right, I can reflect his workmanship. I can show off to everybody, look what God's done for me. And you can do the same thing. If I'd have thought this morning, I'd have brought a piece of pottery that we got from that place called Bybee. It is a reflection of their work. Miss McRoy, have you ever seen anything from Bybee? Yeah, a lot of it. Sold worldwide. You could bring in a piece and you know what it is? It's reflection of the potter. That's all the Lord wants of us. Just to be a reflection. But to do that, the Lord, I need Jesus at the potter's house. I need him there. I need to understand that my position is only because I've been pardoned by the Lord. I've been set free. I've been forgiven. My sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy? I'll tell you why. It's because my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. Praise God, I'm saved. I understand it reflects the workmanship. That's my position. I understand that it's the pardon. And when I understand it's the pardon of the God of heaven, it not only reflects his workmanship, but it shows to me and teaches me humility. I don't have to be born again. He could pull me up and destroy me. He could have put me in a country and never hear the gospel. Could place me, and I could have had a hard will and never believe, but thank God he gives us faith. So my pardon shows it and teaches me I need to stay humble. It's not what I did. I didn't climb up a ladder. I didn't pull myself up. Thank God he came to where I was. He came to me and made me realize what I was and what I am. Without God, I'm going to hell. And well, that ought to humble us. He didn't have to do that. Jesus said, in reference to the Holy Spirit, he said, the wind blows where it wants to. He didn't see anything in me. He didn't see anything in you. He didn't see anything in the world of Christianity that would make him desirous. But thank God, he worked a work in our heart. And he made us a vessel. The purpose of the potter is not only to reflect his workmanship and to make sure I'm humble, but it shows that he has power and that I am dependent upon him. Thy will, not my will, be done. I'm dependent upon him. His power. He said, I can do what I want to. And he can. He's God. He's the potter. I need Jesus at the potter's house. I need to understand the promise of the potter. He said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. What a great promise. And he says, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. But notice the attitude, and with this we'll close. Notice the attitude of the house of Judah, the house of Israel. I read down through verse number 12, they said, there is no hope. There's always hope in the Lord. There is no hope. We will walk after our own devices. That's what got them in the place they're at. You know why America's in the mess she's in this morning? Because we walked after our own devices. We've torn God out of pages of history. We've torn God out of the pages of so-called Bibles. That's our devices. And they said, we'll walk after our own device, and we will, everyone, do the imagination of our evil heart. That's what we've done. They said, he can work on me all they want to. I'm going to do what I want to do. There's that self-willed attitude. Verse 13, therefore thus saith the Lord. Now here God speaks. Ask me now among the heathen who hath heard such things. The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. You know what they did? They turned their back upon God. Verse 15, because my people have forsaken me, they have burned incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths. We better get back to some old paths, my folks. The old paths are good paths. Verse 16, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing, every one that passes thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. They'll say, how in the world is Israel come to this? You know what's being said in our around our world about this nation? How in the world is America gone to where she is now? Because we have our own devices. Verse 17, I will scatter them. Verse 18, then said they, come, let us devise devices against who? Jeremiah. They were not going to change their way, so they're going to get rid of the deliverer of the message. We'll devise a device against the spokesman for God. Latter part of verse 18, let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Jeremiah says, oh Lord, give heed to me. You know what he's saying? We need Jesus at the potter's house. They've devised their plan. They're going to go against me. And so, Lord, give heed to me, O Lord. Hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Listen to what they're saying. This morning, there's all kind of devices out there to shut the mouths of God's people. There's all kind of attitudes out there that we are narrow-minded, backroadsy bigots. If you say anything against anybody, then all of a sudden you're just a bigot. There are folks out there who say, oh, I ought not send missionaries because we don't want to get them out of their culture. Well, their culture is wrong. They need God. They need the word of God. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Who are we going to believe? Who are we going to accept? Are we going to accept the words of powerful man, or are we going to accept the words of an all-powerful God? We need the Lord down at the potter's house. as He spends us, as He molds us, as He makes us, we need Him there because the enemy lurks to destroy us. Stop our mouth. Stop our words. Thank God for folks that still stand. You know what they are? They're clay in the potter's hand that will one day reflect the work of the potter. Let's stand together this morning.